Welcome to the Chips and Dip podcast. I'm the best host of the podcast, Table, or Haroon, as my friends call me.
Wait, if you said that you're the best host, then what about me? What does that make me?
The second host.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm the second host of the Chips and Dip podcast. Apparently not the best. Zazie69, aka, you know, King Ridzy, aka the cutest boy in the schoolyard, because I'd be playing these games. AKA, I forgot the rest of my AKAs. And we're here with a special guest. You can introduce yourself.
Hey everyone, FictionApe here. I'm just here at the Chips and Dips, chipping and dipping. Gonna talk a little bit to my boys here, and hopefully just have a great time, and hope you guys enjoy listening to us talk.
That's so sweet.
I'm not great at podcasts. I think I've done like two.
That's more podcasts.
Everyone can be good at podcasting. Everyone can be good at podcasting.
No, you really just gotta talk, really, man.
Bro, yeah.
Yeah. So, honestly, the reason I suck at it is because I often don't know when to shut up. So please feel free to cut me off if I'm talking for too long.
Sure.
I think it's like not the opposite problem, but like kind of similar, where I just don't know what to say next. So.
Oh, don't worry. I'll fill in all the empty space. I'll help you. We get a lot of because I do acting, so we do a lot of improv work, and basically it's just like I'll always fill in conversations and not have that blank space. Kind of helps.
Was it? No, it was two episodes ago.
Yeah. So here's some behind the scene. Here's some behind the scenes. From I think it was two episodes ago, we had no topics at all, so we just like. We opened up like a improv generator, like we just found a website, and we just improv the entire podcast.
That's funny.
That was pretty funny. Yeah.
How do you guys generally pick the topics? It's just like what's trendy, or do you guys like? Sorry if I'm interviewing you guys a little bit. You guys are the podcast hosts, but
shit. It's normally just trendy things or whatever we think is like interesting at the time.
All right. At the time, we don't even show up with topics and just like.
Just kind
of ad lib, I guess.
Yeah, I feel you.
That's not cool. So that improv cast, like, I feel like it was completely unplanned, but just like the editing in that podcast, and then just like I don't know, like the back and forth there. That was like probably one of my favorite episodes, even though it was like super unplanned. So that was dope.
It's pretty exhilarating. Yeah. It's usually really fun to just improv shit up.
Yeah, for real. So for those of you who don't know FictionApe, right? So first of all, for the like non-anime watches, I mean, I assume you watch anime or read manga when you listen to this podcast, and to bring it up, I think almost every episode. But for those of you who don't, you might be a little, lost this episode. But if you still listen, that's cool. But FictionApe, you want to explain a little bit of what you do?
All right.
Who don't know you?
For the non-watchers of manga and anime, there's a reason why I'm Fiction Ape and not Manga Ape, because I am open, as we were talking about Beautiful Day earlier, I am open to talking a lot about a lot more shit than just manga and anime. But yeah, you're right. My page is primarily, at the moment, anime and manga. Basically, for you guys who don't know me, I do, I have an Instagram page that I used to just post memes, but nowadays, basically, I just read shit or watch it, and I give my opinion on it, or like little analysis and all that stuff, and give people my thoughts and just make friends, I guess, over the community. And I also stream games for people who like video games, and basically I have a YouTube channel too. And I guess my biggest quote-unquote flex about my whole nerd career is that my Gojo analysis video is the most watched one on YouTube. So yeah, go check that out. The Powerless God, Satoru Gojo analysis. Go. Sorry for the self-plug, but yeah, basically.
No. Those analysis videos, I watched a few of them. Those were really, I think my favorite one was the Denji analysis. It was like the dog with a human heart.
Yeah,
like
dude, I really liked that video too, but I was so sad because it kind of flopped. So did the Danzo one, but the Danzo one, I'm not as upset because it's like Danzo's not really a trendy topic and people mostly hate him. I really liked him after rereading Naruto, which is kind of like a hot take, but I'm hoping that the Denji video blows up after Chainsaw Man anime comes out, because that's kind of what happened with the Gojo video. That's when it got big.
Because that Denji video was just like, I just really love that video. It's like a really good analysis.
That was a really hard one to do. I actually, I had some ideas about shit that I wanted to say about him, like psychologically speaking, Thankfully, my mom is a psychologist, so I just went straight to her, and I was like, "Hey, mom, can you give me like the symptoms of like not symptoms, but basically like the traits that someone with an Oedipus complex would have?" And she like explained that to me for like 30 minutes, and I was like, "Yeah, that doesn't apply to Denji," because something that like peeves me really hard about like people who make analysis is either A, when they don't do their research and they want to like imbue something into it, or B, when they ignore like context from the series just to like push a certain interpretation. Because I honestly don't think there's any merit if you're just like what do you say, like if you're like ignore if you're out. Yeah, if you're forcing like just to say that you put this into it. Let me think of a yeah, I don't really have an example that comes to mind, but yeah, I'm really specific about information. Like that's why every single time I'm gonna do a video, and this is a pain in the ass, but I reread the whole fucking manga for whatever I'm gonna do a video on. I just have to. It's just like a peeve of mine. I need it to be like perfect in terms of like I hate spreading misinformation.
You know, I really respect that because, like, a lot of the analysis videos I've seen have just been like they're not analysis. They're just like a review, like just stating their opinion about. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever chapter or whatever manga or whatever they're talking about. So I respect that, putting your time and effort in. I'm sure it'll pay off someday.
I hope, man. It actually pays off. And I talk to my parents a lot about this because they know that I do the YouTube stuff. And I tell them, it's like, dude, basically, and this is a little bit of an insight into like acting, but every time that I'm acting, I am basically doing the same exact process that I'm doing character analysis, which is like, you read the text a bunch of times until you understand like every single small thing. Then you look into like, oh, what does the character say? What do people say about the character? What does the character say about himself? And then you get all these things. You get like all the details, the themes and everything. And then that's how you compile and understand the character so that you can play him and like make the most interesting choices and like do a good performance that's very nuanced and everything. It's awesome. I love it.
You know, so actually, I had been thinking about like something similar. When people give like speeches and all that, like I've given a lot of speeches in my life as well, various occasions. I think that like knowing your topic through and through are like is some of the like the best things you can do because
oh absolutely,
if you know exactly what you're talking about, you don't need a script, you don't need like anything written down, you can just say it, you know?
No, yeah, and it just gives you so much more confidence because it's like I would say that having like doing your work in terms of research, it's kind of like you're standing on a platform, and the more work you put in, the more stable that platform is, and the easier you can like dance around it, you can like do jumping jacks, jump whatever you want in that platform.
Definitely,
and you're not gonna it's not gonna collapse. And the less work you put in, the less wiggle room you have, and you become more rigid. You can't play around as much, you can't like give yourself that freedom to like just have fun because you're so worried that the platform is going to fall down. So it's all about the work you put in beforehand. That's just my philosophy for it.
I did not know that you like reread each of the manga before you did the analysis.
I've read Chainsaw Man 3 times because of this.
And that actually makes a lot of sense because, you know, like through your first read through, maybe
you don't get everything. You don't pick everything up.
Yeah, but you don't get everything. You're just looking at the pictures and kind of taking in the story. But then your second, your third read through, you understand a lot more. It's actually pretty weird.
And Chainsaw Man has like so many tiny details that you don't pick up because like a lot of the time you are usually focused on like one specific like thing. So when I was reading Chainsaw Man, I was like, oh, I'm focusing like in the base plot. But the thing that catches my eye most is like, what's the deal with Makima? Makima, like what is she up to, what's she gonna do, what's the mystery, like I'm trying to think about that. But since I'm focused on that so much, maybe I miss like details about like the side characters, like Aki's arc or like how power changed slowly. And like when you reread that and you already have all the answers to the questions you were originally looking forward, you finally kind of like open yourself to like experiencing the other shit that you missed.
Yeah, I actually kind of got that with it's not like in the same vein as Chainsaw Man. I'm not gonna say the art is bad or anything, but when I read Berserk for the, like, I've only read it once, but like I've gone through a couple chapters a couple times.
Yeah.
The first time you read it, you just want to keep flipping the pages and just find out what's happening next, right?
Because you're like, so curious and you don't pay attention to the little things. Yeah.
Exactly. And then you look at it again, like you read another chapter again, and you see how amazing his art is. Like I don't know. I don't understand how he has that much dedication at that.
Yeah, man. No, I was super upset when Miura passed away. That was that was sad. And it made me even sadder because when Miura, the author of Berserk, passed away, Morikawa, who's the guy who draws Hajime no Ippo, which I've been super into as of late, he posted a tweet saying, like, oh, Kentaro, oh no. And it was so sad because then I only found out that day that basically Morikawa, the guy who does Ippo, was kind of like a little bit of a mentor to Miura when he was younger.
I remember reading about that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they were like pretty close buddies, and like that shit was just so sad. And I remember that because I was feeling so sad, what I did was just like I was watching Hajime no Ippo the rest of the night because I was kind of like, man, I really want to support Miura's friend Morikawa as like kind of a way of like respecting him more because I was already caught up to Berserk. I wasn't caught up to Ippo, and I was just it was just my way of expressing gratitude, I guess. It was weird, but it brought me like comfort. It felt nice.
I really want to read Hajime no Ippo.
Yeah, man, right?
It's like continuously like the one that's on my like to do to read, but then I just like never actually read it.
No, dude, I'm usually a person who focuses more on the manga first, but I would say the anime for Ippo is really good. And it has pretty good pacing because here's the thing, it only has that many chapters because a lot of the chapters are fights, so like it doesn't even have a lot of text, and like the chapters can go by flying, and sometimes Murikawa literally drops like 5-page long chapters because he's like tired that week or something, so like it's a really quick read. It's actually much faster than One Piece despite having more chapters than One Piece.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
I also remember
you caught up on One Piece?
I am caught up to One Piece.
Oh, okay, what So wait, I'm trying to remember what happened last chapter. Zoro, it was like that. Like
last Zoro's chapter iron, was Yamato's backstory.
With Zoro's. I definitely think that's Zoro's dad. Definitely Zoro's dad right there. Definitely Zoro's poppy. One Piece. Well, it's not really spoilers because it's still just a theory. But real quick, because I have a bad time doing this as a One Piece fan. I love trying to get other people to read. Or at least watch One Piece.
Gotta push the agenda. You always gotta push the agenda, bro.
Can you real quick just like try to give Harun a good summary for reading One Piece? Just everyone listening right now. Like, give like a good reason
to read One Piece?
Yeah, because I haven't read it.
I think I do that every episode, but you know, Harun still...
He literally brings it up every episode.
So, like, I guess my mentality a little bit for reading longer manga is that, like... A lot of people always think about it as a task, and they're always kind of like, oh my god, there's like 1,000 chapters, I'm never going to catch up. And it's like, you don't have a deadline. You can catch up whenever you want. You can read a chapter a day as long as you want. But here's the thing. You're going to be enjoying yourself through the ride, because it is a really good series. There's a reason so many people love it, and it's been like a long-reigning king of sales for so long. It's great. I think the main sell for One Piece, I would say, is just the sense of adventure. Because the world that Oda created is so rich and real, exploring it, finding more about it, its politics, its people, it just feels like you're actually exploring the world, as corny as that may sound. And I guess that's just an experience that like a lot of manga aren't able to replicate, like a true sense of adventure in an adventure manga. One Piece just fucking nails it. And
Go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
I was just going to say, can I defend myself? Because...
No, of course. Go right ahead.
Well, me and Zion both like just started college. We're both freshmen, right?
Oh,
I don't have the time to spare to, because I know One Piece is really good. Obviously, nobody would talk about it this much if they didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't have the time to spend to, because I'm one of the people that just binges a manga. Like I read Berserk in 2 days.
Oh fuck.
Exactly. So I don't think I have the time to spend to, you know, start One Piece and finish it and like. I don't know. I can't do it. It's not a commitment I'm willing to make right now.
Here's my confession regarding One Piece. I started One Piece when I was 16 years old. And it took me from age 16 to 19 just to read... No, 16 to 18. Just to read the first 300 chapters. Because I was not enjoying myself at all. Like, I did not like One Piece at the start. Like, I was, like, pushing myself so hard because I was like, man... People love it so much. Like, there must be something to it that makes people love it. And as soon as I got to Water 7, I think it was the beginning of 2019, I was already in college. And that's like kind of when it clicked for me. And I was like, oh, I get it. This is good. And after that, I caught up from chapter like around 300 to around 1,000. So I read like the 700 chapters that were remaining in like 3 months while I was in college, because it just was that good. And I was like, oh my god, this is insane. This is great. So like, I feel like once it clicks for you, you just, it becomes easy.
I get that. But again, I'm just like, I don't know, I'm a monkey brain type person. I just
see
the cool pictures and I want to read more, you know?
Yeah. I would say, I think One Piece is also pretty easy on the eyes because it's not super dialogue heavy, and the art, because it's so bubbly and so fun, it makes it easy to binge, I would say. Even better, if, I don't know if you're into this, but One Piece is like colored for like its first 900 chapters.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, so you can read like colored One Piece, like really good quality colored One Piece, first 900 chapters.
Is it like a, do you know if it's like a fan coloring or something?
Yeah, it is.
Or is it official? That's pretty cool, because I think there's the only other manga I know that has like a really JoJo's. Big fan coloring. Yeah, it's JoJo's.
Yeah, but One Piece fan coloring makes it so much easier to read. It's so much more fun. It's, the colors look amazing. Like the fan coloring, like they literally look like it's an official fan. Like I can just get any random page here and I'll show you, but it literally looks like it's proper like official color, because it looks so good here. I'm sending it in the chat for you in case you want to read it.
I think when fans do stuff, it's either really bad or really, really good.
They're so passionate about it.
They're so passionate.
Here, I just got like a random ass like cover from a chapter, and like, look at this. Like, this looks like it's real colored from like official manga. I sent it in the chat.
That does look really nice, yeah.
I feel like if I ever reread One Piece, I'm gonna have to, you know, read the color version. Which may be soon, actually. I'm thinking about rereading it.
I've thought about rereading it, but there's so much other shit that I want to read that I just don't have the time to reread all of One Piece.
What's like the top of your to read list, I guess?
At the moment, I am reading, oh boy, so I'm trying to read Golden Kamuy. I'm not having a great time with that. I am pushing through because everybody says it's so great. The cast is awesome, but the pacing is horrendous. It's probably one of the worst pacings I've ever had in a manga. But I'm sticking to it because apparently it gets much better later. Like, my biggest problem is just, like, there's so many exposition dumps. It gets a bit repetitive. And, like, literally they'll go from, like, oh my god, this is fucking peak, to, like, five chapters of, like, literal cooking classes. Like, it's literal cooking. Like, they'll be like, oh, so, like, a fucking, like, full-ass spread with just text being like, oh, so this is how you cook fucking bear brains. And I'm like, what? Or like, oh, these are the special Ainu shoes that we use to walk through the snow. If you would ever want to make them, you get this. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, who is this for, you know? Like, who?
Is it going to be like Naruto, where you have to skip specific chapters or specific episodes?
I only skipped Naruto. Like, I think Naruto should only be skipped for filler, because I think Naruto's pacing in the manga is actually pretty good. But Golden Kamuy, I've been having a really hard time. Besides that, I'm rereading Hunter x Hunter. I'm in the Kimera Ants arc. I'm really liking it.
Oh, caught up with the Hunter x Hunter anime. Is the manga worth, is reading the rest of it worth it, do you think?
Real talk, no. And here's why. If you really love it, do it. But you're just gonna torture yourself, because I feel like the anime has a good conclusion that you can like be at peace. And you're like, you just accept that it's not gonna continue and you're done. If you read the manga, it's going to be like, oh my god, this is so good, this is so good, what the fuck, what's going to happen next? Boom. We haven't had a chapter in like 1,000 days. Like, so much setup, like, literally, I shit you not, Crollo versus Hisoka happens 10 manga chapters after the anime ends.
I thought it was like deep into the manga.
No, 10 manga chapters after the anime ends, 10. And it's the best fight in the series, too.
Yeah. Because also I heard like the manga, like there's a lot of text.
That's just in like the last 20 chapters.
Yeah.
It's gotten pretty ridiculous. Like, if you go to the last 10 chapters that were released, I think they were released in 2016. I remember I actually dropped the manga like back in 2016 because I saw those chapters. I was like, I'm not reading all this. I said, fuck that. Especially because that's back when I was like a meathead. I was like a JoJo fan that was like literally just like, oh, ora ora, quick, shit. Like, you know, I just wanted like instant gratification, like Hunter x Hunter back then.
I feel like
I don't think I had the brain power to be reading Hunter x Hunter back then, if I'm being honest.
I still don't know how Nen works, but yeah.
Nen is pretty.
Well, I get like Nen abilities. Like I don't get how Knuckles. Like I was watching like in the beginning, like Knuckle versus Gon, right? And it was like he was explaining his ability.
I just read this chapter. I'm gonna tell you something. They overcomplicated it on purpose to be a gag, like of Gon having a hard time understanding it. Here's all you need to know. His punches basically deposit aura into you. You get stronger, but basically the little thing is gonna be following you around, and it's gonna start taxing your aura. I think it gets like 10% of your like not 10%. Sorry. It basically gets like a set amount of aura every 10 seconds, and if it reaches the maximum amount of aura that you have, you go bankrupt and you can't use Nen for a month. That's literally all he needed to say. That's it, it's as simple as it got.
Definitely wasn't like that in the anime. I calculated how much your punches were to mine, and then you just add a bunch of numbers and shit, and I was lost. But yeah.
Yeah, no, that's okay. The TLDR. That's all you need to know.
Gosh, yeah, okay.
But yeah, basically, I would say, honestly, if you have time, read One Piece. If you don't, it's not the end of the world. There's plenty of other good manga there to read, but it's a great manga. It's like one of the best shonens. It's one of the kings of shonen, I would say.
It's definitely on my to read, which is like really, really absurdly long. So yeah. I don't know.
So let me summarize really quick the other shit I'm reading. I'm reading Ashita no Joe. It's the boxing one.
Everybody's
been telling me it's so great, and I'm excited for it. And I'm reading The House in Fata Morgana. It's like this visual novel I got on my Switch, and then. For watching, I'm trying to finish Better Call Saul. I'm finally watching Euphoria, because everybody's been telling me Euphoria is great. Because everybody's been telling me it's great for the longest time, and everyone's like, oh, this is Zendaya's godly performance. And like, yeah, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Never
mind. I thought you were talking about something
else. You're talking
about... It's a TV show.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah, it's like a... Okay.
Yeah. And what else am I?
I forgot about that.
And Bojack Horseman. That's been.
Oh, that's amazing. That's an amazing sitcom.
Yeah, I'm like one season in, and I'm already like, bro, this is peak fiction. It's so good.
I feel like the first season is definitely like the weakest season too.
So. And that's what everybody tells me. But like, I tried Bojack first, and I was like, God, this is ass. And then I rewatched it, and then I thought it was ass again. And then when I rewatched it the third time, I was like, oh my God, this is so good. I am ass. How did I not comprehend how good this was?
It's a really amazing series.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Shout out to Bojack Horseman.
We know you. Honestly, mega shout out to Bojack, man. Oh. Especially because it's such a LA show. Like, I live in LA, so like I get so many of the jokes. Especially if you're in the acting, like business, studying, whatever, you just get a lot of the jokes more because it's like such inside jokes of the industry. It's so funny. It's great. I love it. But sorry, what were you gonna say? I interrupted you.
What was it? The One Piece live action? Have you seen the? Have you been?
Unfortunately, yes.
I feel like because like so the thing about the One Piece live action is like they're spending like $9 to $13 million per episode or something like that, right? So I feel like possibly, and also Oda is like apparently has like a big role in like the creation of this or whatever.
The guy who's gonna play Luffy, and I.
They did?
I don't know. He's a Brazilian actor, but I've never seen him in anything. I don't think he looks the parts too much, but hey, there's gonna be a lot of makeup and editing and all that shit. But I don't have any concrete opinions yet. I hope. I think Dylan Sprouse posted a photo of himself as Sanji back in the day, and with like wearing Sanji shit. And he looked really cool, and he's a pretty good actor. But I don't think he's gonna be Sanji because basically they promised us that like each Straw Hat is gonna be from their actual nationality. So like Luffy Brazilian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually pretty
Sanji
cool.
Would be French. French. Zoro Japanese, and so on. Frankie American. Man, I wish I was American. I would play a killer Frankie, man. I'm just saying.
They gotta find a Brazil. Not what is it? Canadian reindeer.
Yeah, bro.
Hopefully. Yeah, I think that the One Piece live action though. I have high hopes for it. I don't think it's gonna be horrible.
The guy who's producing it is the same guy who did Lost, so it's. That's a pretty big show on his back. I would like to hope that he's actually read One Piece. I feel like that's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But
I would hope so too.
Yeah, I feel like that's wishful thinking though to assume that like a fucking big shot producer in Hollywood actually read One Piece. But who knows? Maybe he's doing his homework. I hope.
Fingers crossed.
It's just funny to think that like I don't know. You know how people are like, oh, just read One Piece. It's only like 1,000 chapters.
Yeah.
I say that to the producer.
Well, I think...
I really like, hope all the actors read...
Like the One... East Blue arc, right?
Yeah, it's I think it's just East Blue.
Yeah.
I really hope that the actors read One Piece, but again, I think that's also wishful thinking to imagine they're all going to read. I think some of them will, but maybe I don't think all of them.
I mean, I don't get why how you can even be allowed to make something if you don't like know what the source material is.
You'd be surprised.
I'm gonna assume though the directors are the first 100 chapters.
Dude, here's the problem: the fans care a lot more about this shit than the actual people producing it. Most of the cases, of course, I'm not gonna generalize, but yeah, a lot of the times, like people are given. Like, I think it was the director of WandaVision who had no idea who the fuck Mephisto was when he was directing WandaVision, even though they were, like, hinting at Mephisto for, like, the whole season.
You know the monster manga or anime?
Yeah,
or whatever?
Urasawa, yeah.
Yeah. I really like it. It's really good. But I remember reading, it was a while ago, reading some news about, like, the director Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, he was going to try to adapt it.
Because it was one of his favorite, like, manga. And I wish that, like, it actually went into, you know, production or whatever. Because that would be really cool.
Monster could make a really good TV show or movie really easily. Like, it wouldn't be hard to adapt it at all, especially if you have a lot of money, easily. Like, I think Guillermo del Toro could do a great job with it.
He's not a small director either, so I think that...
Yeah,
really
no. And it's just, like... There are no supernatural elements. There's no, like, enough. It's just a really good thriller.
There's like, not much you can mess up, yeah.
Yeah, like, honestly, I just think the hardest thing would be finding actors that could play the roles well. Like, I don't know. I have to think of a modern actor that would be able to, like, play Johan. Like, because Johan's pretty young, too. So it'd have to be, like, a guy in, like, his early 20s. And, like, no, like, blonde, blue-eyed actor comes to mind right now that would be able to play him, you know?
Yeah, they'd have to cast pretty well. I don't know.
I think like maybe like here's the thing. I think someone like maybe like Timothée Chalamet could like maybe do it because he's young enough for it, but he like doesn't look the part exactly. So it'd be tricky, but it could be a lot of fun. It could be great. I honestly believe that Monster would make a pretty good adaptation.
I also thought that you know the Death Note live action, right? We talked about it a couple of times, but I feel like if they didn't do something separate from you know, Death Note, if they just did the actual story, I think it could have been well. It could have gone well.
I feel like that too, because it's not really that much of an extreme thing you have to do with it. They just kind of fumbled it towards the end. Not even the end, they just fumbled it for real.
I feel like for the Death Note thing, they fucked it up by, they could have done the same exact story they did in that movie and not named the characters Light, L, Misa. Or whatever. I don't think Misa's... Oh, no. Misa's name is actually Misa. But, like, they could have just told someone else's story if they got the Death Note. Like, it doesn't have to be Light. You know?
Yeah.
Because clearly the character that they wrote wasn't Light. That's not Light. So why are you calling him Light? Why are you pretending that this is the same story? Like, just rechange it. Like, use the concept of the Death Note. You can use the rules. You can even use Ryuk if you want. But, like, there's no reason that you need to make it Light. There's already, like, four different actions with Light. And if you're going to change the story that much, then just make it be, like, someone else got the Death Note, and it's, like, their story. It wouldn't be as predictable. People wouldn't be making as many comparisons. And, like, if you want to fucking make it a love story like you did in this one, then you can do it. Because, you know what? It's not Light Yagami. So, who the fuck is going to complain, you know? The new character.
Yeah, it wouldn't have gone over like great, like it's a masterpiece, but it wouldn't have gone over as bad as it was.
Yeah, either. Like it was just the movie was just filled with so much like shit that just didn't need to be there. Like I remember like at one point the like Light went and he wrote Watari like as his name, even though Watari's not the guy's name, into the notebook. And it worked because you can use nicknames. So, like, why didn't he just write L?
Yeah, exactly. <It's so stupid.
laughs> I was like, what? Or why didn't he just write Watari, kill L? Oh, no, never mind. That's a rule in the Death Note. You can't do that. But, like, Watari, call me right now. Oh, no, never mind. He did go to get the name. My bad. But he could just say L, kill yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of plot holes and stuff. It just wasn't a good movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of good movies, though, I mean, this movie literally came out like 3 days ago, so you guys probably haven't watched it, but Shang-Chi?
I actually watched it yesterday.
You watched it? Oh my god, that was such a good movie.
I watched it yesterday. That honestly has, that like, amazing. I would say, like, at least two of Marvel's, like, top five action sequences. The action sequences in that movie looked spectacular, and I really liked, I think, Wen Wu was his name, the guy who's supposedly the Mandarin. I thought he was a really compelling villain. Do you guys mind spoilers for the movie, or should we just keep it spoiler free?
If you say spoiler warning, that's fine.
Okay, spoiler warning. Yeah. I didn't like the monster at the end. I don't think it was necessary.
Yeah, I felt like it should have just been like him versus
him and the
his
dad.
Father.
Yep.
But, yeah.
I guess he needed a way to get the rings. Yeah. I get why they needed it, but it's just like, I didn't, like, I don't know. I really don't like monsters that are, like, not connected to the main character in any way. Like, they're just kind of a force of nature. I don't think they make for, like, really compelling enemies a lot of the time. Especially when they're, like, so last minute, like this monster was in Shang-Chi. At least something like...
It was just a giant kaiju fight at the end. It was dope, but it just didn't really...
It didn't really hit for anything. But I honestly really like... how the MCU continues with its like theme of fatherhood so well. Like, I don't know why, but like so many of their films have like the theme of fatherhood in them, and I think Shang-Chi is the one of the ones who nailed it the best, I would say. I definitely think Infinity War, and even though I don't like Endgame that much, Endgame also did a pretty good job with like the parallels between Tony and Thanos. But yeah, I really like Shang-Chi. The only thing that I think fell a little bit flat to me was the comedic timing. I thought a lot of the jokes did not land. And
it was kind of funny. It
was kind of funny, but I'm saying, like, I feel like a lot of the jokes didn't land. Even though, like, let's say they gave us, like, five jokes. I would say, like, two out of five wouldn't land. And
some of the jokes kind of misplaced.
Yeah. Like, for example, like, when he's giving his backstory and then it's like, oh... they're interrupted for that, like, little, oh, do you want beef or vegetarian? Oh, we don't have vegetarian. And, like, you know, jokes that, like, a little bit overstay their welcome in, like, serious moments.
I agree with that so hard. I haven't watched the movie, but I think
Marvel does that a lot.
Yeah, I think there's so many movies that just, yeah, jokes overstay their welcome. I think it should be just concise.
Yeah, like, I think a problem that I feel a lot of the MCU is that I feel like they have a little bit of a fear of letting the watcher feel uncomfortable or feel, like, nervous or feel scared. And, like, it's, like, every time it's, like, oh, you're about to get there, you're, like, really into it. Joke.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, like, I feel like they're breaking their own, like, rhythm a lot of the time. And, yeah, I just, like, I feel like for Shang-Chi, it happened more often than in a lot of the Marvel movies. Like... even though Black Widow was a better movie, Shang-Chi was a better movie than Black Widow, I think Black Widow handled humor better, which was weird, because like Black Widow was super serious compared to Shang-Chi. I think Black Widow was much more serious than Shang-Chi, but it's somehow the jokes landed more.
I never watched Black Widow, but
Black Widow wasn't as bad as a lot of people say it is. It just had one crucial mistake, which was the thing that we said about Death Note before, which was like, if you're gonna change a character so much, then why would you even name him like after the source material?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Taskmaster, is just the name that they gave a new character. It's like it's a new character, but they call it Taskmaster. And like, do you mind spoilers?
No, I don't care.
So basically, like Taskmaster is like this mercenary. He's cocky as fuck. He's super. Shit-talking and everything, and they gave him the Deadpool treatment of, like, X-Men Origins, where it's like, oh, it's just a brainwashed person who's, like, basically a robot. And, like, they took all the personality off it, and I don't know why they did that, because they've seen what happened with Deadpool in X-Men Origins, that everyone hated that. So why the fuck would they do it again? You know? Like, 10 years later? They pulled a Deadpool. An X-Men Origins Deadpool. Like, yeah. But
one thing about like the Shang-Chi, like it's like first introduction fight, the bus, like The bus fight was done.
That was the best scene in the movie, bro. My opinion.
They started off like really, really strong. It was,
yeah. You know what I was really afraid of? So, basically, I was really afraid of, because Shang-Chi had a really strong start with that bus scene, but that gave me PTSD to fucking Black Panther. Because with me for Black Panther, I think the first section of the movie was so good, and then the middle part dragged a lot, and the beginning, when the end wasn't as good as the beginning. And I was like, fuck, is this what's going to happen to Shang-Chi? And no, it didn't happen. I still think the middle of Shang-Chi dragged a lot, and like I was starting to get sleepy a little bit there at a point. But I think the ending was solid. For Black Panther, I think the same thing happened, but to a bigger extent for me, which I didn't feel like I loved the conclusion as much as I did for Shang-Chi. Because I think everything about Killmonger and T'Challa fighting... awesome. I feel like a lot of the rest of the conclusion was just like, show me what's interesting, because like I feel like the whole thematic thread of like basically, how do you say it? Like excluding yourself from the world, hiding yourself from the world, like was being like sewn so well with like the protagonist and the antagonist that it just felt like all the other side plots were like kind of like superfluous and they were just like happening to happen. That was my biggest problem with Black Panther.
I feel like literally everything that was interesting was happening just at that one point.
And with like T'Challa and like, because, bro, Michael B. Jordan fucking killed it as Killmonger. That was, like, amazing. I remember when Black Panther came out, Killmonger was by far my favorite MCU villain. And then Thanos came out right after, and Killmonger kind of became my number two because, like, I became a really big Thanos fan because of Infinity War.
I'd say that personally... You know, I feel like Killmonger is better than Thanos, just as a villain. But I just liked his whole theme and everything. It was really cool.
No, Killmonger was amazing. I think, for me, the biggest argument I would make for saying that Killmonger is better is Thanos' reappearance in Endgame. Because I think Thanos in Endgame was so much less compelling than he was in Infinity War.
I get that, too. He's just kind of... Because, like, Infinity War, it's, like, we've been waiting to see him.
Feel for him a lot of the time, too. Like, bro,
yeah.
I would say, like, in Infinity War, you can almost argue that it's, like, Thanos' movie. It's, like, he's almost the protagonist. You see a lot of the shit through his point of view. Like, a lot of the time, it's, like, him getting ganged up on versus a bunch of people. And, like, just, I don't know, that scene of him with Gamora is just very touching. I do think that, Infinity War, you can justify like his change of personality, but it just didn't work for me. Like him going from this guy of like, oh, I don't like violence, I don't really want to do this, I have to do this, to I'm gonna blow up the whole universe and I'm gonna enjoy it. You know, like happened?
It seemed like a big change in character. I agree.
You were saying
that like Infinity War was like in his perspective. It seemed Endgame was more, you know, he became the Avengers. The villain, right? Yeah.
And I get like it makes sense like in canon because it's like, oh, he watched the whole past and the future like from the other the other Nebula. But dude, that fucking shit all happens off screen. You know, like yeah, I get what's happening. I get that there's gonna be change in him, but like, show it to me. Like, are you kidding me? Infinity, like, Endgame is 3 hours long, and you really thought that the fucking, oh my god, Captain America butt joke is more important than me seeing the change in Thanos? Really?
Captain America's ass. No
hey,
homo,
man. Right, yeah, you know, no homo. Like, it's a good butt, bro. But, like, you know, I just think, like, my biggest problem with Endgame is just how poorly paced it was. The first 2 hours of the movie have no... fucking antagonist, because Thanos doesn't even know what the fuck is going on. He's in the past just conquering shit and just chilling, and like for the first 2 hours it's just like, oh, fan service and unfunny joke. Like I'm a bit harsh with Endgame because I was really like, Infinity War is my favorite MCU movie, and then after that I was so excited for Endgame and I watched Endgame and I was like completely underwhelmed. That movie pissed me off. But yeah, I really...
Well, how are you really feeling about Spider-Man? I'm really excited for this new Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is my favorite superhero, so I am stoked.
I'm rewatching. Well, not rewatching. I'm watching for the first time because I've watched all of Tobey Maguire's movies, but I've never
Andrew Garfield's.
So I watched the first one yesterday, and today I'm about to watch the second one.
Everybody hates on the second one. I want to rewatch both the Andrew movies. Because here's my thing. I was born in 2000. So I think I saw what my mom tells me, I don't know how accurate this information is. I saw the first Spider-Man movie, like the first Raimi movie in the theaters. And I fell in love with it. Yeah, and I fell in love with it as a kid. Then the second one and the third one, those I'm sure I saw because I remember seeing them in the theater. And then I've seen basically every single Spider-Man movie that came out in the theater every single time. And I'm just like so excited for it because I've seen all of it and I'm just like in love with the franchise. I really like it. Even though like the Tobey movies are cheesy, I still love Spider-Man 1 and 2 and 3. Yeah, even 3. I do like 3. Even though 3 is funny and cringe and memeable. But,
Pizza Time. No, that's a...
Yeah, that's 2. That's 2. Yeah, that's 2.
Yeah.
I do want to...
Bad Boy sequence. That's
yeah. I do want to rewatch the Amazing movies because I feel like those are the ones I'm least familiar with. I watched them as a teen, but I never rewatched them. And... The only thing I have a really strong memory of is the one funny fucking scene at the end of The Amazing Spider-Man 2 where he's about to fight Rhino and the movie ends. And I was like, oh my god, what the fuck? Give me more! But yeah.
Oh, damn. I didn't know that. Oh, man, I'm good. All right, now I'm going to be left on the cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's a cliffhanger.
Because I felt like the thing is, like, the theory that everyone's having, and I think this theory is backed up more because I just, like, watched a video about, like, leaked dialogue from like the movie and whatever, right? Is that like all of the villains, they come back right before they're killed or defeated and they come to Tom Holland's universe. And so they don't want to go back because if they go back, they die, you know? But you know, Spider-Man and Spider-Man are like, y'all got to go back. So that's the whole thing that's going on.
Wait, so it's like Into the Spider-Verse, but like not like live action?
It's like the Sinister. No, it's only Spider-Man. It's not Spider-Man, Spider-Gwen, Spider-Noir,
Spider-Ham.
Yeah. It's only the 3 Spider-Mans. But I did see, there's this one thing, I really hope this is real, but there's a leaked dialogue thing, and it says that Tobey Maguire goes and he tells Tom Holland, with great power comes great responsibility. I really hope that's in the movie. Oh my god.
I hope that's in the movie too, because really we haven't seen that line in the MCU yet.
Yeah. Because I don't think we haven't seen anything with Tom Holland's Uncle Ben for real.
No, yeah.
he's just implied to have died off screen.
Yeah.
Because Tom says something in Civil War that basically resembles the Great Power, Great Responsibility quote.
Yeah, because we see Andrew Garfield's Uncle Ben, Toby's Uncle Gwen. Tom.
I didn't mind them not having Uncle Ben in the MCU, especially because it was kind of like basically we had already seen it twice and they kind of
acknowledged that fact.
Yeah, it
would have been pretty expected.
It would have been pretty expected, and they basically used that to segue into the another theme of fatherhood once again with like Tony being a surrogate dad for Peter, and he basically fulfilled the role of Uncle Ben that created like a strong emotional bond for them when in Infinity War, when Peter quote unquote died, and then in Endgame when Tony quote unquote died, those scenes hit, and I think it was a, like, even though it's not comic accurate whatsoever, I think it was a good choice. I think it fits the MCU. A lot of people have a problem with it. A lot of people are like, oh, he's just Iron Boy Jr. And it's like, bro, that is the fucking point. He is growing into Spider-Man. Like that's his character arc. That's like, He is too dependent on Tony. He's like, I'm nothing without the suit. Yeah, the suit is literally the embodiment of Tony. He is like someone who's just being taken care of, and now he has to step up. That's the thing with Mysterio. He was overly trusting because he didn't want to take responsibility yet. Got fucked. Then he went, he solved shit himself. But still a problem that he's not going to be able to do by himself, which is going to be like the Sinister Six. I really hope the other 2 Spider-Men show up. I know it's not confirmed, but if they do, I think it's going to be really nice for Peter to see how 2 other Spider-Men that have no one having their back handle shit.
Like, I'll have such a big boner in the
theater. Yeah, those are actual, like, those are what Spider-Man actually is in their full potential. They are independent. They solve shit by themselves. Like, even though Spider-Man 3 has that quote that, like, even Spider-Man needs help, which I guess it would be nice, it would fit, because it would be Spider-Man helping himself. I think it would be nice for Tom to get like this, basically these role models of what he can become, and he realizes his true potential finally. And maybe we get something similar to what Miles did in Spider-Verse of like sending Peter through the gate so he solves it himself.
Yeah, because he does seem like the growing superhero that he is right now. Because like
I don't think there's a problem with that. It's a little bit of like, I think the reason why people hate Legend of Korra so much was just like, they're like, oh, she's a bitch in season one. It's like, yeah, bro, that's season one. Character arc. She changes. Like, she grows. Like, and that's what's happening with Peter. At least that's my opinion for like MCU Peter.
The MCU Peter's very, very different than everything else. But I like that because we've already seen everything else multiple times. You know, we already get normal Spider-Man.
Here's my...
It's like a little mix in the origin of it.
My hot take for MCU Peter. I used to read a lot of Ultimate Spider-Man, so, like, I remember when Spider-Man died in the Ultimate Universe, and that's when Miles was introduced. I read a lot of the early Miles comics, and here's the thing that I'm gonna tell you guys. MCU Peter is just literally early Miles. They just stole his character. They stole, like, his best friend, Gonkei, and they turned him into Ned Reeves in the thing. They even changed the age for him to be like Miles, I think, is 13 when he gets spider powers in his origin in the Ultimate Universe, and like the only person he tells is his best friend, who's like a nerd who's good with computers, Gonkei, and like basically they turned that into Ned Reeves for the MCU, and it's like he's more youthful from. Yeah, he's more youthful and everything, and so I think literally what they happened was they just took Miles' personality, they gave it to MCU Peter and called it a day, which is kind of like why Into the Spider-Verse kind of like reworked Miles.
But I think it works really well with like the MCU.
I totally agree. I think he fits like really well, like tonally. I think I think Tom Holland does a great job with it too. I think he has a lot of fun with it, which is kind of what you want from Spider-Man. Like you want him to be having fun. A lot of the Wait, can you guys hear me? Sorry. Yeah, a lot of the thing that always unhypes me with Tobey Maguire so much is like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen any Tobey Maguire interviews, but he just sounds so unenthused, like unexcited about everything. It's like this fantastical thing, and like, of course he doesn't have to be. It's still a job. It's not his obligation to be excited about it. But I guess when you're doing something like, that you love, it shows. You know, like. You can see how much Andrew also loves the role because he also loved Spider-Man since he was a kid. I don't think it means to Toby as much as it did to the other two, even though I do like Toby more than Andrew at the moment. And that's just because I'm really shitty on Andrew, like, memory-wise. I don't remember Andrew's movies, so I'd have to rewatch to be sure.
But I do like say this. I will say this, all right? After watching, like, okay, I think this, right? Toby, in my opinion, he's my favorite personal role as the character Peter Parker and Spider-Man. But Andrew Garfield, I feel like, is the best Spider-Man just as Spider-Man. Because,
he jokes more, quips
and everything. I love that shit. But then as Peter Parker, he's just like, he feels really different compared to,
we were just talking before.
I think Toby lacks the quips too much. Like, I literally only remember one quip from him, which is the keep the change thing with Dr. Octopus. That he throws the bank money back at him.
Yeah, Toby seems like the embodiment of, you know, the Venom like thing. He seems like really independent, really like old, trying to go through like the whole Spider-Man thing. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I like some people argue that like, oh, there's no problem with Andrew being too pretty because even Peter still got girls in the comics and everything. And I'm like, yeah, but have you seen how Peter was drawn in the comics? Like, him getting girls or not was never the problem. It's more so the fact that, like, how he looks. I think, like, Peter Parker, if you look at the early comics, it's like, bro, always wearing glasses, the slick back hair.
It was
like,
a nerdy kid.
He looks like a nerd. Like, he looks like a stereotypical nerd. I don't know if that's insensitive to say anyways anymore, but he looks like a proper nerd. And I think Andrew just looks too cool. Like, I don't see Andrew Garfield being bullied in school. I'm sorry. It doesn't sell to me. Like, you know? Like, shit. I just can't picture it.
When I was a kid, I used to watch I think it was Spectacular Spider-Man.
That was amazing. That's one of my favorite incarnations of Spider-Man. So
I don't remember it.
Dude, it's such a crime. Sorry?
Was that the one with Luke Cage? And he had, like, White Tiger. The dude with the bucket on his hat. Or are thinking about different
cartoons? I don't think so.
I honestly don't remember too much.
Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah, it's the one that had that theme song, the Spectacular, Spectacular Spider-Man.
That show
so
was
good.
Really good. Yeah.
Dude, that show was amazing, and it's such a shame that it was canceled.
I think the Peter for that was really good, because he seemed like a nerdy kid.
No, that I think, to my opinion, in my opinion, that's like one of the best incarnations of like Spider-Man outside of the comics.
Yeah. It's been a while.
And also PS4 Spider-Man was pretty good.
Oh my god, that was such a good game. Like, it was...
I love that game. My biggest peeve with it was how short it was. I think it was way too short.
Especially the second game that came out with Miles Morales, that was insanely short.
That was even shorter, but like that was a DLC, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. What I wanted to talk about was the movie It's a Beautiful Day Today. That's it, right? Or A Beautiful Day Outside. Something like that. Beautiful Day Today. That's it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It's a beautiful day. Yeah.
So this movie, it's called It's a Beautiful Day Today, or A Beautiful Day. So it's about this guy named Bill, right? Bill.
Yeah.
It's about this guy named Bill. And he's a guy. I don't wanna spoil too much. But I will say, this movie, it's such simplistic editing. I mean, such simplistic animation, but the editing is so amazing. You literally get hooked in like the first 3 minutes.
It's insane. It became my favorite animated movie like as soon as I watched it. It was so mind-blowing. It was honestly really a life-changing movie. It makes you reflect so much about life and be like, man, I really should enjoy like every living second, because you never know when shit can go bad, and you should be grateful for the shit you have, because other people really don't have even the things that like you take for granted. And it's just like, it's a really visceral experience. I definitely recommend it to anybody who wants to reflect. Maybe if you're having a bad day, a bad time, bad week, bad month, whatever, like maybe postpone it. But like, if you're open to that, or if you are having a bad time and you just want to have a good cry, maybe It's Such a Beautiful Day. It's a great movie.
I'm going to steal this point from Zion before he says it. I haven't watched the movie, but Zion compared it a lot to Oyasume Poon-Poon. Have you ever read that?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
It's like, I say it's like Poon-Poon, BoJack Horseman, and was, you know, the album about dementia? What was it called? Rick. Something Nightmare?
Everywhere at the
End of Time. Yeah. It's like a mixture of those three things put together. It's really dope.
I didn't really feel like, I don't really feel like it's similar to anything that I've watched. And I've watched the first season of BoJack, and I've read Poon Poon, but like, honestly, it's like a really different experience from anything I've ever seen.
Have you ever listened to Everywhere at the End of Time?
No, I will now that you said it. It's similar to,
because it's like it's an album. It's an album about dementia, and it's like taking you through the stages of dementia through music, and like,
oh, that sounds amazing.
Just
really long.
It's like 6 hours long.
But it's like, I've never listened to scary music before. You know, it's like, it's straight up kind of scary. Yeah.
What you just described to me reminds me of one of my favorite musicals, which is called Next to Normal. It's another musical about mental illness. It's really good. I really recommend it if you guys are into musical. It's all on YouTube if you want to watch it.
What's it called?
Next to Normal.
Next to Normal.
Okay.
Cool. I'll definitely check it out.
I won't say it's similar to Poon Poon in the story. I was just saying like the art style kind of. Like,
oh yeah, the simplistic art style.
Main
character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't finished Poon Poon though. I got too sad reading and I just stopped.
Yeah, when I finished Poon Poon, I immediately went to go read Magi. Because I wanted like some happy-go-lucky shit to like make myself feel better.
Yeah, it's good, but
after
the
I finished
thing that
it,
just happened to him, I was like, oh man.
After I finished it, I didn't do anything for like two straight days.
Nah, like after I finished it, like in the same night, I was like home alone. Everything was dark as fuck, and I was like, bruh, I'm gonna.
You can't finish it at night.
Yeah, I finished it at night at like 2 in the morning. The whole house was dark and silent, and I was just like, man, I need
to get to the
else.
I didn't get to the ending yet, but when you said the ending was like,
I would say the final 10 chapters are what fucked me up the most.
Really?
Honestly, I don't know. I feel like most people aren't going to agree, but I didn't really like how it ended. I thought it was fine, but I don't know. I didn't like it.
I would say my main problem with the ending was Poon Poon himself. which I'm not gonna spoil here for Zion, but yeah, you'll understand what this means. After he gets the horns, he just starts acting in a way that doesn't feel believable anymore to the character that we've been reading.
Like,
it felt like it was a different person entirely. Like, I didn't feel like I was reading Punpun anymore. It felt like I was, like, reading this idea of a character. Because my main appeal to Punpun is how relatable he is and how, like, human and truthful. And, like, I get it that, like, extreme circumstances can change people extremely, but it just felt, like, too much too fast.
I feel like the author, like, was trying to subvert our expectations. That's what it felt like to me. Because I think it could have gone on for at least quite a few chapters more, and then ended a much more smooth way, albeit like the same amount of sadness probably.
Yeah, I think the final message of Punpun is kind of like how, like, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this interpretation of it before, but it's kind of like the reason we see it from his friend's perspective instead of his own is because it's kind of like, to other people, life, like, is very surface level. Like, you only see, like, if you see someone smiling in the street, you're going to assume they're happy, but you don't know the shit that's going on behind them. And, like, it's the kind of point is that, like, maybe every single person in all those, like, crowded streets that Punpun was walking through could have gone through much shit that's much worse than what he did, but we'll never know because we haven't seen the story of their eyes and their perspective. So, like, it's just kind of like life goes on and everybody deals with their own shit, and it's kind of like what it's telling you. It's like, shit, life goes on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like to think about it too much, to be honest.
Yeah, it was pretty sad.
I'm kind of scared to finish this manga now.
Yeah. But,
it'll be fine. You had, like, don't finish it.
You had a segment?
Time.
You had a segment about movies or something, right? I had something about that, right?
I don't know if I wanted to bring it up anymore, but it was it was kind of a thing where, you know, I wanted to pick, like, three movies, or maybe even just one movie that's, like, really close to your heart, for whatever reason. It could be really bad, but, like, something happened during it where, you know, it's really cool to you now. Do you have any movies like that?
Movies that I really love. How many are you on? You on three, you said?
Yeah, three is fine. We'll both share three as well.
I would definitely say It's Such a Beautiful Day is one of them. For second, probably, I think, Scott Pilgrim Against the World, just because I really like Edgar Wright. I love that movie, and I love the comics, too. I read them all.
I really like the comics. I like the style of the comics so much.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And it's just, like, I've seen it so many times that, like, I know all the little details, and I just love the movie a lot. I guess the third movie would be Parasite. I really like Parasite a lot, the Korean movie.
Yeah,
Because my first exposition to it was seeing the director Bong Joon-ho get three Oscars at once. And why was that significant to me? I'm an immigrant in the US trying to make it in the acting business, and, like, Bong is not American. He's not American. He's the first person to ever win Best Movie as a foreign movie. And he won Best Director, Best Movie, Screenplay. And it was just insane. It was, like, such a big thing. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, right after that, I was like, bro, this is a guy who's, like, a fucking immigrant who made it, you know? Like, he fucking made it. And I was like, dude, let me watch this. And then when I watched that movie, I was like, wow, this is amazing. It's, like, it's a phenomenal comedy for the first hour and a terrifying drama for the second. And if that was all that it was, it would have been maybe just another movie. But then when you look at all the subtext, the acting's amazing, the themes and the exploration of, like, how capitalism can work and not work at the same time and fuck people over and, like, also give other people great lives, just that was amazing. The exploration of dreams, just everything about the movie is so clever, and it feels like he basically, like, handpicked every single detail, every single shot. Everything just feels so purposeful, and I am just in love with Parasite. I just think it's a phenomenal movie. I would say it's my favorite movie ever, probably.
That's really... I've always been meaning to watch it. I just never gotten time. So
I would say definitely watch it, especially because I watched it with no... Like, I had no idea what the movie was about. I went in blind, and it's just like, wow, it's great.
Dang. Zion, do you have any movies like that? Or do you want me to go next?
I can go, actually. So first one, right? This one, I literally just watched this movie on my birthday, the night of my birthday. This one, All right, this one, I just because it made me feel such emotion, right? I thought this was a comedy. Marley and Me? I thought it was just an Owen Wilson comedy. I love
Oh, no, it's not. Bro, how did you think that was a comedy? I like, literally, right? Everybody mentions it as, like, one of the saddest movies they've ever seen.
I didn't know it was a sad movie. So I click and I'm like, okay, let me start my birthday off, right? Happy Owen Wilson movie. And like, oh, you know, that girl from Friends is in there, too? This is going to be funny. And then, you know, at the end of the movie, I was crying. It was like, it was one of those cries. You can't really even stop. It was so sad for no reason. But I love those movies that make you, like, feel anything, you know? So Marley and Me's going to be one of those. I didn't know. I thought it was going to be a funny movie, though. But next, Wanted. I used to always watch Wanted with my, I remember, I don't know why, but this memory is so strong to me, is watching Wanted with my brother and two of my cousins. And, I don't know. I think back to that time. So Wanted, you know, one of Angelina Jolie and Morgan Freeman, and then like the curve in the bullets and shit. That's cool.
Oh, I remember that one. I forgot the, like, cause here's the thing. I saw that as a kid and I saw it in Portuguese. I didn't know that the name was Wanted.
Yeah,
but I remember the bullet curving shit.
Yeah, and the rats with all the bombs on them and everything. Yeah,
yeah. James McAvoy is in that movie too, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it's the guy who plays the young Dr. Xavier.
Yeah. I'm not sure actually. I don't really have that many memories of the movie. Just like watching the movie, you know. It's like I remember like the main scenes and shit. That was cool. Third movie, I can't really think of anything right now. I'm sure there's something, but...
Alright, I'll go ahead and we'll come back to you, I guess. So, first, it's kind of a tricky decision, because I really love this series in general, but the Indiana Jones, the last movie, I'm going to say. The... What was it called? The Last Crusade? That is... I don't know. I just always used to watch it as a kid, and I know it's not really like... You know, a kids type movie, but me and my dad really loves the series as well. I don't know. It just brings warm feelings to me. I love Indiana Jones as a character and everything. It's so cool. The next movie would probably be what's the do you know like the space version of Jumanji? What was that called?
Zathura.
Zathura. That was one of my favorite movies. Just
that movie was great. That movie was great. I played the video game to it too. I remember that astronaut scared the fuck out of me.
That was such a good movie because I don't know, the visuals always look so cool, and I was like, "Dang, I want to go to space now." After watching that movie, I think the third one is it'd probably be like Nightcrawler. I think Nightcrawler.
I
want to
watch that
movie,
right, like, dude. That is on my list. That is on my list. Jake Gyllenhaal. Apparently, it's his best performance. That is.
He is one of my favorite actors just because of that movie. Because I don't know, it was just such a cool movie. Like the premise was so cool. It's kind of like a Joker, where you see him getting worse and worse as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
There's like no like good guy in that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good movie.
Solid list. Oh, I got my third movie actually. Just because of the one scene at the end, you ever watch a Silent Voice? But like,
I need to watch a Silent Voice. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
You ever watch it? Oh, this is okay. Like that ending scene, just like I really, really love that movie just from that. But I don't want to spoil anything. But you know, also solid top tier movie. Shout out the director of Silent Voice. We know you're listening. We know our demographic. I forgot about the chip and tip recommendation.
Oh, shoot.
Man, that's like the first thing we have to do. All right. And okay, we're gonna speed run the chip and dip recommendation real quick. The beginning of all of our episodes, even though it's like an hour end and we're about to end soon, the beginning of all of our episodes, we do a chip, dip, and table recommendation. Chip mm-hmm. isn't here, and whenever we have a guest, we do a chip, dip, table, and bev recommendation. Chip also, again, isn't here, so instead it's going to be a dip, table, and bev recommendation. Ape, you are the bev. Haroon, you know, you're the table. Me, I'm the dip, obviously. So you recommend a bev. You recommend a chip. I mean,
all right.
Goddamn. You know what to do. You know what to do.
Wait, so what would be a bev? Can you repeat that? I got the last.
A But also, it can be literally anything. But if you do gather all of these things together, iZazzy69 will Cash App you one crisp USD dollar bill. Only on Cash App. No Venmo, no PayPal, none of that. Just Cash App.
Wait, so sorry. What would constitute as a BEV?
Literally anything.
Literally anything? Okay.
It could be an idea, even if you wanted it to.
Fuck.
Make it hard for him as an editor, because we put it in the banner of all of our episodes.
Yeah. I forgot to say that in the beginning, and now, you know, it's towards the end.
But yeah. Okay, my recommendation would probably be, like, Hajime no Ippo, the boxing anime and manga. That's just, it's been my favorite thing for a while. So, yeah, definitely that.
Okay.
I'll go. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead. I was just going to try to think of something.
Okay, I have this old... Nobody uses landlines anymore, but when we were getting rid of landlines, I kept the phone, like the base and everything, because I thought it looked really cool. So it's just a decoration in my room now. So I'll say this AT&T landline that does not work anymore. It's my table.
AT&T landline. All right. Hajime no Ippo, AT&T landline. Obviously, I'm going to have to go with a condom. I'm just looking at my desk. I don't just have a condom. It's in a wrapper. It's not just like a condom. Do I have to see the size of the condom I have?
Obviously.
All right, it's double XL, but, you know. Slight flex. Just so you know. So if you gather a condom, Hajime no Ippo, and that phone, then I will Cash App you one crisp USD dollar. Just go to @chipsanddipcast. And send us proof. Boom. We were supposed to do that in the beginning of the episode, but...
Can the guests submit that if they wanted to? Can the guests submit that for a dollar bill?
I don't think guests are allowed. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm good. Don't worry.
I don't think anyone's ever done the recommendations, but they're never really actually possible to do.
It's just a thinking experiment. Anyways, right. At the end of our episodes, we usually think of a name for the podcast. So, as our guests for this episode, what do you think we should name the episode? Go ahead, it's all yours.
It's such a beautiful podcast.
It's such a beautiful podcast. Oh wow, that's amazing. Because he forgot to mention it has to end with cast. He just got it perfectly.
Yep. Thanks.
You got it, bro.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah, bro. It's all the improvisational classes in school, bro. Yeah. Gotta think quick on my feet.
All right. Are y'all ready? Oh, plug your stuff.
Guys, literally everything that I do, it's just @FictionApe. So Instagram, Twitch, YouTube, I think that's all I have. Twitter, everything, Fiction Ape. That's my stuff.
Okay. You know, you can find us at Chips and Dip Cast. Also, you know, Apple Podcasts. Yeah, I know y'all listening on Apple Podcasts, and I know you guys aren't hitting that 5 stars and like a review. You can just hit the.
Oh my god! Shame on you guys for not hitting the review.
Exactly. Just 5 stars, easy. It's super simple. You know, you want to get all the stars in yellow, and then you just want to write any review. You can write, "I like the host that is Zazzy." Just write that as a review, and then, boom! You know, we get a wider audience. More people can find us. So that would be cool. You know. Besides that, Karun, anything you want to say?
I just wanted to say that I really do like your name. It's so cool, Fiction Ape.
Thanks, bro. Honestly, it's like. My original like name in like Instagram was like Blockboy Dio, because I really liked JoJo, and then like I was like, man, I feel like I associate more with, because like a lot of people knew me as like Dio the ape, and I was like, I feel like I associate more of the ape shit than the Dio shit nowadays, because I don't even like talk about JoJo like that anymore. And then I was just like, but what type of ape am I? Like, what do I like? That I was like manga ape, anime ape. I was like.
Fiction.
I don't want to restrain myself to just manga and just anime. Like, it's like Fiction Ape. Fiction. And then I like the sound of it, and then boom, just changed.
That's a perfectly flawless name, though. You know, like,
I actually, I really wanted to talk about something, but maybe we could talk about it, I don't know, next time. It's
you want to ask about the ape shit?
No, not that.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of people ask me, like, why do you go by ape? I was like, oh, it's a long story.
We can get in that next time.
We'll do it next time.
I just wanted to say, like, it's probably too long of a topic to bring up, but the Instagram clans, like the anime clans, like Block Boy.
Uh-huh.
There is a few other ones as well.
Yeah, Osu, Hashira, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Weren't you in one too, Zion?
Yeah, I was in one. Actually, me, Arsul, and Luis, we started a bet because of Block to make our own Instagram anime pages. And, you know, Arsul's page is doing really good.
Yeah.
You just did like 10K.
Block was great. I still talk to all the guys from Block. Like, I'm still really close to Soma, to Mike, who's Deku, what else? Sam,
I follow Deku, yeah.
Josh, like, they're all great.
Well, that's another rabbit hole we can't go into today.
We're already past the hour limit, but it's cool. All right, thank you guys for listening. Ape, thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me, man. This was so much fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You know what? As we say at the end of all episodes, bye. All right.
That's an episode.